fame. He had a notion that he was being had. He could imagine his friends talking of the affair and laughing. She was a little vulgar. Sometimes she said, "I seen," and "if I had of known." But what would grammar matter if he really loved her? He could not make up his mind whether to like her or to despise her for what she had done. Of course, he had done it too. His instinct urged him to remain free, not to marry. "Once you are married, you are done for," it said. While he was sitting helplessly on the side of the bed in shirt and trousers, she tapped lightly at his door and entered. She told him all, that she had make a clean breast of it to her mother, and that her mother would speak with him that morning. She cried and threw her arms round his neck, saying, "Oh, Bob, Bob, what am I to do? What am I to do at all?" She would put an end to herself, she said. He comforted her feebly, telling her not to cry, that it would be all right, never fear. He felt against his shirt the agitation of her bosom. It was not altogether his fault that it had happened. He remembered well, with the curious patient memory of the celibate, the first casual caresses her dress, her breath, her fingers had given him. Then, late one night, as he was undressing, she had tapped at his door, timidly. She wanted to relight her candle at his, for hers had been blown out by a gust. It was her bath night. She wore a loose, open combing jacket of printed flannel. Her white instep shone in the opening of her furry slippers, and the blood glowed warmly behind her perfumed skin. From her hands and wrists, too, as she lit and steadied her candle, a faint perfume